Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the webinar on Equalization Levy, Impact on Startups. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the talk mode. So if you're traveling or in a crowded place, you may mute your devices or you may press star and six to mute and unmute your lines. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meyyappan N., Senior Associate, Nishit Desai Associates. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rio. Good evening, everyone. So today we'll be talking about the equalization levy and the impact that this new tax that the Indian government has imposed that it will have on startups. Now, just to provide you a brief background, the equalization levy is a tax that is intended to tax the digital economy, and the government wants to have its share of the digital economy pie. Now, before I get into the actual details of what the equalization levy is, the circumstances in which it will apply, the problems and issues surrounding it and the practical impact, I'm just going to give you a short background on double tax avoidance agreements, because the main issue that the equalization levy seeks to address is the non-taxation of income that is earned by foreign service providers in India. So for instance, so to give you a background on double tax avoidance agreements, there are agreements between countries where treaties have been entered into to say that, let's say there is a person who conducts business in India who's from abroad, and if there is a potential double taxation that may arise because the same person may have to pay taxes both in the home country as well as in the source country, which is India. So through these agreements, governments have demarcated the taxing powers to ensure that the person is not taxed in both the countries, but only in one country. Now, there are different ways in which this kind of rules are set in the treaty. One of the rules is to say that you need to have a permanent establishment in India for the income, for your foreign income to be taxable in India. Now, very quickly, a permanent establishment can be created in India through three modes. One, if the foreign entity has a fixed place of business in India, or if it has an agent in India who signs contracts on its behalf, or it provides services in India over a certain period of time for the same project. Now, why these are important to us is because in the current domestic tax agreements, sorry, tax avoidance agreements that you see, these were all drafted in the 1920s or early 1900s, when the idea was to deal with issues of taxation in a brick and mortar economy, where there was no other way for you to provide foreign services except through an establishment physically located in the country that you wish to do business in. But in a digital economy, this problem has become these ways of establishing a permanent establishment have become a little outdated, because as you know, a lot of the digital services that are being provided today does not require you to have a physical presence in the country itself. So you may be providing let's say online services. Your servers may be in country A, you will be in country B, you're actually providing services in the rest of the world. So then there are difficulties in determining where the tax actually has to be paid. Now, we are all talking about this from a foreign service provider's point of view. Now, why does it matter to Indian startups? What has this got to do with us today? So what this has to do with us is that, you know, the Indian government feels that the foreign companies are not paying their fair share of taxes in India despite doing businesses here or despite providing services and making money in India. But the problem is that the way the current treaties are worded, the foreign entities do not create a permanent establishment in India and therefore cannot be taxed, because they don't have a fixed place of business in India, they don't have an agent in India, or they do not provide services over a long period of time that technically qualifies it to be a permanent establishment. So to address this problem, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is the OECD, came up with something called the BEPS Action Plan, which has been a work that's been ongoing for the last couple of years, in fact, the last decade. This is called the Base Erosion and Profit Shifting Action Plan. And Action Plan 1 talks about how the digital economy should be taxed going forward in the future. So here what they speak about is they talk about different ways in which the concept of a digital PE may be introduced in the current treaties, how the wordings can be changed to include even a significant digital presence through which foreign entities make money. Apart from this, the other option that was suggested was that there be a withholding tax on digital transactions where the source country can impose, like India can impose a tax on any outgoing payments to foreign service providers in the form of a withholding tax, as some in a way similar to the TDS that you probably deduct today for foreign income that is earned by other service providers. The third option that was given is the equalization levy. Now, what it is important to note here is that none of these measures were actually recommended. These are all different options that were considered. And why the equalization levy was considered is particularly because while the first two options required a change in the treaty itself, and you couldn't really do it unilaterally through just imposing a domestic law, and you know, negotiating treaties, renegotiating them takes a lot of time. The equalization levy was intended to be a tax that could potentially target this untaxed income of foreign residents, but the tax itself is structured not as an income tax, so that it falls outside the purview of the tax treaties. Now, why this is important is that if the equalization levy is intended to be a tax on income, but it is actually structured as an indirect tax or not as a tax on income, then the treaty doesn't apply and it can be imposed without the formation of a permanent establishment by other foreign companies. So I will get into the different problems related to this, but to just give you a brief timeline of events as to how this came about. In October 2015, the BEPS action plan was released. In February 2016, what the government did was there was a committee that was created to look at how the digital economy should be taxed in India. The report was published by them called the Report of the E-Commerce Committee on Taxation of E-Commerce. And there they consider the equalization levy and they come out very strongly in support of it. But there were many things that they have not taken into account. Then in February 2016, the committee is set up, the report is released in February 2016. Within a few weeks, the government proposes this in the budget. And then in May, the Finance Act notifies it. And in June 2016, the equalization levy has been implemented. Now, I'm sure you're all wondering what is the practical impact or why is this even important? Why are we even, why should we give this a lot of significance? Now, the thing is, if you remember how the service tax regime originally started, it had a very similar genesis to the equalization levy. The service tax originally, when it was enacted in 1994, unlike central excise or income tax, where you have a separate legislation that deals with it, service tax is not, there is no service tax act. It is under a separate chapter under the 1994 Finance Act. And initially, there were only three or four services that were taxed with about, 2 or 3%, or I think it was a 4% rate. Now, today, if you see, we have a negative list where unless it is specifically exempted, all services are covered and you are paying a 15% effective tax rate. Correct. So that is how the entire regime has started. And today we are in a position where it's frankly getting up to the point where it might become burdensome, because whatever the justifications may be in law saying that you can impose taxes on different aspects of a transaction, ultimately if you're paying both income tax and you're paying service tax on the same income, then effectively it's economic double taxation of the same money. So it does become a cost to businesses, and if not kept in check, because under the GST regime that we are going to go ahead into, the rates which were recently notified could be reasonably predicted for any of these services to fall either in the 12% or sometimes in the 18% rate, in which case the impact may be higher than what it is currently. So in June 1, 2016, the EL was implemented. But what is important to take note is that currently, and I will get into the details of how the tax actually is structured, but currently it is at 6% and it is only on advertising expenses that is incurred by domestic residents, business providers. So if a domestic business spends more than 1 lakh for one online advertiser who's foreign in a year, then they'll have to deduct 6% of that money. Now, going forward in the future, potentially the intention is to for the equalization levy to apply to all digital services in a manner similar to how the service tax covers everything today. And it is also the rate is also likely to be increased. And even though the tax was originally intended to tax the untaxed foreign income of, you know, like foreign service providers, it is all the regulatory, administrative, and all those burdens are on the domestic enterprises. And what is most important to note is that, you know, in the future, if the rate and the scope is increased, today, currently, according to our market information, the big, the Googles, the Facebooks, the LinkedIns, Twitter, wherever you go for the major online advertising, they are taking the hit of this levy currently. But should the rate or the scope of the services be increased, and it will become, and I will explain to you why it becomes not very cost effective for them to absorb it. It will in fact start affecting their bottom lines. And that is the point where, like any other service tax, they will start passing it on to Indian businesses. And that's the point when startups will be the ones that are most affected, because even in other companies, you know, domestic businesses, they may be able to further pass it down the chain, in which case the consumers are the ones who get affected. But even then, certain companies which have a very wide sort of market base with very small margins, they will suffer a lot of market access problems. They will have a fall in market access. And startups are also in a special position because you are in your beginning few years, you are actually burning through a lot of cash. And you may not have the funds to either take this hit or be in a market position where you can afford to pass it on to consumers, because you will risk alienating the customer base. So these are the sort of problems to keep in mind and to understand what a big impact this could have potentially going forward in the future. Because right now, the intention of the government when they pass this is they are testing waters. They have passed the act, they have passed the levy. And they are trying to see how far people are pushing back or willing to comply with it. And the impression that we get is that the full significance of this levy, or the potential for it to expand and become a significant cost to business in the future, is underestimated even in the market today. So the second that happens, then it may be a bit too late to lobby the government or try and have a conversation with them to say, to urge a rollback or a rationalization of the levy. And I will tell you why it in fact becomes a cascading tax later in the presentation. So to quickly get into the what is the tax, what when do you have to actually pay this tax? So it is a 6% tax, and now I'm reading verbatim from the Act, on consideration received or receivable by for any specified services by an online advertiser who is resident abroad. So now it is currently it's only for any online advertising expenses that you incur. B, it is a 6% deduction, but later when I will explain how the mathematics works, even though it's termed a deduction, it will end up in an effective increase in your tax rate when you look at it in addition to your service tax or your GST regime. So it is a consideration. If you pay more than 1 lakh in a year, if you are a business and you pay more than 1 lakh in a year for any online advertising service or advertising space to a non-resident, then you will have to deduct 6% in that. It is not applicable if you are paying a domestic resident, nor is it applicable if you, let's say you pay 1 lakh cumulatively for online advertising, but you pay to 5 different service providers, then that does not make the levy applicable. You have to pay more than 1 lakh to each advertiser who is non-resident, and only then the levy will apply. So I could pay 3 lakhs to 3 people and I'll have to pay the levy and deduct it for them. But if I pay 20,000 to 5 different people, then I will not have to deduct the levy. But as you can imagine, that's a pretty low threshold when you think about your annual online advertising expenses. So the idea is for it to be very broad-based and capture everyone. Now, the obligation, like I said, is to deduct the levy and deposit with the government, and this obligation is on the domestic service recipient. It is not on the service provider, so the foreign company doesn't have to do anything. And if this, if the domestic resident either deducts it and does not pay it to the government or does not deduct it, then all the penalties are on the domestic provider, on the domestic service recipient. So if you don't deduct it, then what happens is you will not be able to claim expenses for that amount, and it will be added to your income. And so that's how they expect to enforce this mechanism going forward in the future. So effectively what happens is you will be denied a deduction, and that will remain as taxable income in your books. Now, going on to the economic impact. Now, if you think about the incentives, the government has come out with many justifications saying that, you know, startups should be in a strong negotiating position with these big multinationals, and they should be able to pass on the economic cost of this tax to them. But that's quite unrealistic, because most of these big players are in quite strong positions, and it may be difficult, considerably difficult, to push them back and have them accept the tax hit. Further, the foreign service provider may not be inclined to accept this as a tax and pay it, you know, because the idea has been to specifically structure it in a way that it is not falling within tax treaties. Now, the problem with that is that the foreign service provider, let's say they provide a service and they pay the equalization levy, they will not be able to claim a foreign tax credit for this in their home jurisdiction, because it is not a tax on income that is paid. So they are most likely going to be pass on that economic cost to Indian service providers. Now, what happens when you pass it on to the Indian service provider, service recipient, sorry. So the Indian service recipient, you'll have to pay, let's say, 100 rupees to the foreign service provider. Now, when you pay 100, the idea that the government thinks this will work is you will deduct 6 rupees and you will pay 94 to the foreign service provider. But if you are economically taking the hit, which means that the foreign service provider says, see, I'm not going to take the hit for this, you pay me 100 no matter what. So if you have to pay them 100, you'll have to do a gross up, in which case you'll actually have to say that the consideration is 106.4 and then deduct 6% on that, so that you actually end up paying 100 to the foreign service provider. Now, you effectively pay a 0.4 rupees more for every 100 rupees that you have to pay. And on top of that, you'll also have to pay the service tax on this amount, because the base consideration now is 106.4 and not 100. So earlier, if you are paying 15% service tax on 100, you will now pay 15% on 106.4. So you are paying a 6.4 plus you're paying a 15% on 106.4. So your effective tax rate jumps up to 22.3% only on this combined impact of a 15% service tax and a 6%, you know, equalization levy. Now, going forward in the future, and we know that the levy is going to be increased, we know that the GST regime is going to come in, and let's take a situation where they say that, you know, today your online services that you take from abroad are subject to a 18% levy, 18% GST. And let's say that even if we assume the equalization levy rate to be kept at 6%, and there is reason to believe that they will increase it to 8 or even 12% in the future, even assuming that remains the same, for a mere increase in the GST rate today from 15 to 18%, the combined cumulative impact means that your effective tax rate on just the equalization levy and the GST could range anywhere between 25.5% to 33%. So which means you are looking at a significant increase from today's 15% service tax regime to a 32 or 33%, you know, tax rate, or almost a doubling of the taxes that you are paying on this account once the GST and the equalization levy comes into force and the costs are passed on to you in the future. So this is all of these numbers are in the slide deck that we had circulated prior to the call last week. And each of the breakups and the assumptions and the numbers are provided there for greater detail. But this is one of the big reasons why. So apart from your income taxes, this is going to form a significant part of the cost to business that you may have to incur going forward in the future. Now, you might be wondering, what is the potential for the expanded scope for the levy to apply? So the committee in its report considers many digital services which it can be included under the levy. And I'm just going to quickly go through the list just to give you an indicative idea. Online marketing and advertisements, including on radio and television, cloud computing, website designing, hosting and maintenance, digital space for website, advertising, emails, online computing, blogs, online content, online data, or any other online facility, which is a very broad term that can encompass almost anything. It also includes any facility or service for online sale of goods or services or for collecting online payments, including digital platforms. It also includes online use or download of software and applications, news channels, online maps, online streaming, music, games, movies, maintenance of participative online networks, and it just goes on. So there is almost everything under the sun that they intend for the levy to be covered under. And it's going to be very similar to, so it's effectively going to be a parallel service tax regime in addition to the service tax that's already there. So in that sense, you know, it is a dual taxation on the same element. You are taxing the same service twice, once under the guise of a service tax and again under the guise of an equalization levy, which does not make much sense. Because if the idea is to tax the income of the foreign service provider, I mean, and it should be, nobody is disagreeing that, you know, the foreign service provider should pay the rightful taxes that they owe to the Indian government. But the problem with the equalization levy is that while it says it is intended to benefit domestic enterprises by, you know, taxing foreign companies and therefore equalizing them to the same level that, you know, like if a foreign company is not paying taxes, they're at a better situation compared to Indian businesses. But since they are not paying, they're at an advantage is the presumption on which the levy is based on. Now, but what the levy actually does is it incentivizes foreign service providers to pass the cost on to Indian businesses. And this only makes the position of Indian businesses even more worse because you're not effectively getting a portion of the money that the foreign service providers earn as income. You are only adding more costs to Indian businesses. So while in principle, I think everybody is on agreement, our problem is more with the form and the impact it will have on Indian businesses. So the other problem with this is also that the idea is if you're going to have it as an indirect tax, and this is one of the problems that is faced even in the current service tax regime, which is that there is a cascading of taxes. There is a lot of multiplicity of taxes. It adds to the economic cost. It keeps cumulatively adding up. And there is a lot of administrative and compliance issues, which is the entire reason why the GST has been brought in to sort of rationalize things and streamline things. Now, if you are enacting the equalization levy, not as an income tax, that's fine. But it's also not very clear from the government. They have not taken a clear stand saying it is in the nature of a service tax either. And why this is important is that not only are there questions on the constitutionality of the levy, because, you know, if you are not sure what is the nature of a tax, there are Supreme Court judgments to say that it is technically unconstitutional to impose such taxes, because only if the nature of the tax is clear, you will know who has to pay what kind of tax and when and for what reason. But that aside, the other problem is also that this doesn't come within the GST network, which means that you will not be able to get credit under the GST framework either. So it's neither under the income tax framework, it's neither under the GST framework. So you can't get input tax credits under the GST system. And this is just going to be another additional cascading tax outside the GST for businesses. Now, coming to the administrative burden, now this is going to result for no fault of Indian businesses or startups who had nothing to do with this issue of, you know, that foreign service providers should ideally pay the taxes that are payable in India. The obligations under and the penalties under this equalization levy are all on Indian resident businesses. So if you don't keep track of what payments you are making, or let's say initially I make 20,000 rupees payment for an online advertising service in the beginning of the year. Now, at the end of the year, I am not sure whether I am going to cross the 1 lakh limit or not. If I am not sure, then the problem is that do I deduct 6%, do I not deduct 6%? And even if I have to deduct 6% on a presumptive basis, then I'll have to apply for a refund the next year. And all of this is just cumbersome and time-consuming, and it just requires a lot of, you know, vigilance on making sure that you're keeping track of which service provider for what service that you're exceeding the, you know, the limit or not. So when more services get notified, it's just going to add to the sort of compliance and monitoring costs that require to be in compliance with this. And the other problem is also that if there is a delay in paying this or default in paying or filing the returns on a monthly basis to keep track of this, the penalty is that the penalty could be equivalent to 100% of the levy amount and rupees 1,000 per day for default along with interest at 1% a month. Now, all of these are penal provisions directed only at Indian businesses, and there is not even a reporting obligation on the foreign service provider. So that is sort of the kind of position we are in today. So this is sort of to just give you like a very broad overview as the different problems and issues that you may have going forward, and the importance of why you should probably be paying more attention to this and think about taking some action, or at least engage with the government to understand that they are clear on how this may potentially impact, you know, startups in particular. Because this sort of move, generally, the government has been very pro-startup, very pro-Make in India. They've come out with a lot of policies with the Startup Action Plan. They are making a lot of moves in the right direction to try and help startups. But these sort of levies seems to be a bit ill-considered, because, frankly, from the report of the committee as well, I do not think that they have actually considered this in too much detail or the impact that would have on Indian businesses, particularly on startups. So with that, I'd like to have any questions, I'm happy to address specifically. I think we have a few callers on. Feel free to just unmute and address any questions directly to me.
This is the operator. Everybody is on talk mode. You may go ahead and ask your questions.
So I can see we have Mayur, Srinivas, Prachi, Mithul, etc. on call. Do any of you have specific questions that you'd like to ask us?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, this is Mithul here. So just one quick thing that we've noticed with a lot of these startups is that most of these payments that happen to Google, Facebook and LinkedIn, most of these get deducted from the credit card straight away, from the founder's credit card. Now, here, so I think what we've been advising is that, you know, if that's the case, then you probably have to gross it up and pay it off. But have you seen any other practice in your experience?
So currently the thing is, from our information, most of the companies are not passing the cost on. So the thing is, you would actually not feel any pinch, or you wouldn't have the need to gross up currently because the companies themselves are taking the hit. In fact, I think LinkedIn publicly made a statement saying that they are not going to pass it on. But insofar as where the costs are being passed on, then you will have to gross up and do it. There is no other way around it. And it will, like I explained, it will also affect your service tax computations or GST computations because your consideration, base consideration goes up.
Understood.
Yeah. The government has, some of the people who recommended this levy to the government recently in an article that I read, they seem to suggest that the deduction mechanism they have suggested should not result in a gross up. But frankly, I don't, I quite disagree with that, and I don't see any way around it.
Understood. Thanks.
Sure. If anyone has any other questions, or feel free to write to us. I think you have our email ID in the slide deck that we circulated. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Would this conclude the conference, Mr. Mappan?
That would be it.
Thank you. With this, we conclude the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.